Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm here today with Robert Nelson. Robert's the mayor of Bay City, Texas, and a certified Dave Ramsey financial coach. Robert, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I'm blessed. Every day that I get up, I'm blessed. I get a new day to solve somebody's problems.
Oh, what a fantastic attitude. I love that. I got the good fortune of being able to spend a week with Robert at a ranch in Texas. Which was one of the most magical experiences of my life, because you had all this opportunity to learn and grow together and really meet phenomenal people like Robert here.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate being there as well and meeting you. Great people there. We learned so much. Got to meet several people and develop some long-term relationships, which I appreciate.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became mayor of Bay City, Texas.
Oh, well, how much time you have?
I said, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I missed that little part. This was not in the cards. It's not something I had planned. It came about, and I saw where I might be able to use my education and my skills to help other people. So I retired actually back in 2015. Went back to school for a couple of years, taking finance classes. And somebody asked me, they had been asking me about being mayor for several years. And my daughter was still young. And I said, no, I can't do this. So the previous mayor decided he wasn't going to run again. And my phone started blowing up. My daughter was older. I sat down with her and her mother. And I said, I think this is something I want to do, but I need your support. I can't do it without the two of you. So they agreed to support me. So I ran. Didn't really expect to win, since this is my first foray into politics, which I don't like. But yeah, there was a runoff. There were three of us running. There was a runoff between the two of us, obviously, and people had to get out and vote again. And of course, on the second time around, you don't get as many voters as you do the first time. The election day, I wasn't even in Bay City. I was in California. And I got a call at the end of the day saying, you won. And I was shocked. And the first words out of my mouth were, what do I do now?
And now you mayor it up. That's what you do.
Yeah, you mayor it up. No, but it was pretty cool. It was exciting for me. It was scary at the same time. And I just jumped in there with both feet. I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I saw some of the problems that I wanted to solve. And I just got in there, rolled my sleeves up and started on it. And I am now in my second term. My second term, I ran unopposed. So I assume that I'm doing something right.
Yeah, well, I mean, if no one wants to challenge you, they either think your grip is too strong in the community and it's not worth trying, or they're too lazy, or I don't understand that one is true. Or you're doing a great job and there's no reason for anyone to try to upend you out of that slot.
Yeah, as of right now, I have quite a bit of support from your community. I'm not on Facebook, but I hear lots of comments. And they said at this time, there's nothing negative on Facebook about me. So that's great in itself.
Maybe I can change that. Maybe I'll get my team to post some negatives. I don't know. I wouldn't even know what to post negative about
you. I'm good.
I wouldn't even know.
What is that old saying? No news is good news.
No news is good news. Yeah, no news is good news. Oh, there's no such thing as bad press. All sorts of lies we tell ourselves, I think. I don't know.
It's been exciting, and I really love what I do. I really do. I enjoy it.
That's good. That's really good. I'm glad you're in that position that you're ready for it in your stage of life. I'm not going to say how old you are, but you, my audience would not believe it if I said it. There's no way that they would believe it.
I'm proud of how old I am. The Lord's been good to me and I've been blessed. I have nothing to do with it. So I can't take credit for how I look other than I try to eat right and exercise.
I don't do either of those things right now. And it hurts a lot. I've made poor decisions. So what are some of the things that you were looking to fix in your town when you were running? What are those things you wanted to tackle?
So I can say I campaigned on three things. I campaigned on unity, collaboration, and growth. I kept it very, very simple. I didn't promise no new taxes or I was going to fix every pothole in the first year. I wanted to bring the community together to talk to each other, to get to know each other, and then start working together to try to make improvements to our town that we love so much. I can't do it by myself, and none of us can. We have to create a good team. We have to decide what direction we're going in. We need our North Star. And we all decide on, yeah, this is where we want to go. And then we start making arrangements to get there. We start making plans. You know, you have your vision, which I tried to get everybody to buy into and understand. And then you have your mission statement on how you're going to get there. And you just start working and keep going in the same direction. It's a team.
See, I love that. I don't claim to know anything or everything about politics, but I find it hard to believe that anyone that says that they can fix people's problems, I find it hard to believe that they're telling the truth, because no one does anything alone.
Well, you can't.
Especially before they get into office, they don't really know how it works.
No, they don't. No, I didn't.
Well, you can promise the world. I mean, you can know, like, in your brain how you think it might work, but you don't know in your heart, you've never done it. So you don't really know exactly what it takes to get these things done. And so anyone that's running and promises the world before they've ever been in office, you're like, well, good luck, Skippy. I hope you can do it. But well, the problem isn't that. The problem is so many people believe that they can make it happen.
Yeah.
That's I think, the problem. We prop, not yourself, but we prop these people up, and then we leave them to do the thing that we hired them to do. And then we don't ever talk to them or contribute or show up to town hall meetings to voice our opinion or, you know, have our support. Like, no, we hired you to go. You go do that. I'm going to be a citizen. You go. It's not how it works. You have to support the person that you put there.
Exactly. And you have to see the vision, understand it, buy into it, and then help us get there. And, you know, when I ask sometimes to create different groups, teams to get something accomplished, to get people to volunteer, and that's how we do it. You know, I'm also a part of, president of the Rotary Club in my area. I'm also a Lion. So those groups help in the city, and I get to be a part of that. And people get to see what I'm doing and that I'm standing behind my words. So the things that I want to do is showing, yeah, this is what I want to do. And I'm out here with my sleeves rolled up, and this is what we're trying to accomplish. And I need you to get on board, get on the team. And we can all get this done together. And that's the way I look at it. It's the only way you can get it done.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's a great approach. And I'm really happy that you're the man leading the charge. But we're not here just to talk about you being a mayor, as great as it may be. We really wanted to talk to you today about you being a Dave Ramsey coach. And the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you is I get so many people that want to start nonprofits, which I think is exciting. They want to help out their fellow man, their fellow people in the community, which I also love. But a lot of them don't yet have their household finances together. And every time I've seen someone that's been in that situation, that's tried to start and run a nonprofit, especially because a huge part of nonprofit work is understanding the money, they have such a hard time. And I would rather they have an easier time. And I also happen to love Dave Ramsey and his plan. Who would you say can really benefit? Who are the group of people that can really benefit from Dave Ramsey and his 7 baby steps?
Those that are struggling, those that don't make a lot of money and they don't know how to manage money. I have an old saying, and take a step back for a minute, that kids don't listen to their parents, but they emulate their parents. Okay. So if the parents are struggling and using credit cards as their emergency fund, and everything they buy is on credit, and all their paychecks goes to credit, more than likely the children are going to be the same way. And that cycle continues. And what I would like to see happen is that cycle broken, and help these younger people understand about finances that they weren't taught, and get them out of that cycle and get them on a path to generational wealth.
Oh, see, I love that. I was a child of, you know, trailer parks and foster homes. I didn't know anything about money growing up. I had a wife who did, but she didn't do a good job of convincing us not to get ourselves in some financial trouble. When I found Dave Ramsey and his baby steps, I was upset. I was like, why aren't people talking about this? Why aren't people teaching this? Because if anyone would have shared with me some of this stuff ahead of time, you know, I would have had a much better chance of not being a train wreck in my mid-20s. And I know a lot of people are, just by the nature of, you don't have a lot of money yet. But our big thing is that, like you said, we got into credit card debt and didn't understand how to use that particular tool properly. You know, we used it to go out to dinner and all this. That's not how it's supposed to work. We used it as our casual, let's do things and have fun now, yeah, and pay it off later. And as eventually those payments started crushing us, we really looked into this stuff. I read Financial Peace by Dave Ramsey, and then we took the first big step. I had a classic 1963 Chevy Corvair, which is a very interesting car. It wasn't that fancy. We made the decision to sell that thing for $2,500 to start our journey into paying off our debt. I know baby step number one is getting that first $1,000 into your emergency fund, your baby emergency fund. What does that mean, and what does that look like?
Oh, Travis, that is so important, because most people in that position, all they know is, I have a credit card, and if there's an emergency, I can just go charge it and I'm good. Not realizing that eventually you max that credit card out, you're paying so much in interest rates that people don't understand. Whatever that $100 item, $1,000 item that you purchased or used that credit card for is costing you, that plus the 10-20% interest that you're paying over time. And that's per year. And if you don't pay it off for several years, you're almost doubling what you paid for that item. So you really need to understand that and understand interest rates, understand effective interest rates, which a lot of people don't understand, because it over time, it actually costs you more than what that annual percentage rate is. So what you really want to do is get in position to have at least $1,000. And that's what Dave Ramsey suggests. You have a minimum of $1,000 in an emergency fund. So when you do have an emergency, you have the funds there to pay for it, and you don't have to put it on a credit card and pay all that extra money. That's where he really wants you to start. Get out of credit card debt. And they can't do it anymore. But years ago, when young people, 17, 18, 19 years old, went off to college, what's the first thing they ran into when they got to the college campus? Was somebody giving away free t-shirts if you sign up for this credit card? They don't understand how it works. They're like, great, I got a free t-shirt, I got a credit card, and I can go out and buy whatever I want. But they didn't tell them about the part, well, you have to pay for it. You're in college. You probably have a part-time job waiting tables, which is not going to cover your overhead. And they wind up getting themselves in trouble at a very young age. And it's many, many, many years before they get out of it.
Oh, absolutely. That first $1,000, people are like, they either think that's a lot or they think it's very, very little. Here's the deal. $1,000 is going to cover a replacement water heater. It's going to pay for a car insurance deductible. It's going to buy a ticket home if you've got to fly home for a funeral. $1,000 isn't a lot, but it covers a lot of pain. When we got our first $1,000, I know my wife felt a lot more comfortable with our monthly finances. The second step is paying off all consumer debt. We mentioned credit cards. What's really interesting about credit cards, a couple of things, is when you are in a position where you're putting things on credit cards and you can't pay them off, my wife and I pay ours off every Friday. We've played the game before. We know how it works. We pay it off every week. We weren't always in that position. We weren't. We were in the position where we needed to make sure we weren't putting anything on there. But if you're carrying a balance, that means everything that you purchased, you are guaranteeing that you'll pay more for. So, oh, I found it on sale. It was 20% off. If you pay for it for 6 months, it's more than the original price ever was.
Absolutely.
So if you save for 2 months and you can buy it, even if you put it on the card and then pay it off, again, Dave Ramsey doesn't recommend using the card at all.
Yes, that's true.
you end up saving money in the long run. Second thing is every month your balance is more than 50% of the limit, your credit score goes down every yes. single month, provided you're making all your payments. It's not going down for other reasons. If your credit is less than half the limit, including zero, it means your credit score goes up every month. We had credit cards that we would buy, we would get them, we would activate them and shred them and never use them. And it showed an open line of credit. It showed on my credit report that account was good every month, giving me a little boost in the credit score. I think I got up to 847 or something like that while I was really like really trying to play the game. And you can, no kidding, keep it at zero and have the benefit every month. I'm not recommending you play the credit card game if you're at this step of the game here. You know, but we sold that Corvair, that first $2,500 helped us pay off our first three small debts. And then we used those payments to build our debt snowball. Robert, you want to tell us a little bit about the debt snowball?
Debt snowball is awesome. So how it works, according to Dave Ramsey, I want to give him a plug here, is that you, if you have several credit cards, you start with one with the lowest balance. And that's the easiest one to pay off. A lot of people talk about pay the one with the highest interest rate. That doesn't always work. Get rid of that one payment. You pay your minimums. Just say you have five on four of them. The fifth one, you want to pay as much as you can on that one to get rid of it. Once you get rid of that one and get that paid off, you take that same amount of money and put it towards the second one. So now you're making the minimum payment plus the amount that you were putting on the first card. So now you're throwing a lot more money on it at one time. And that's going to help get that balance down. And then you continue on through that. You do the same thing with the third. Now you have the payments from the first card, the second card, plus your minimum payment, and you're putting that on a third one. And it gets paid off a lot quicker. And that's what you want to do. That's how the debt snowball works. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill.
Oh, absolutely. And what debt is something that you can pay off down to zero and then never have to pay it again. I'm not talking about the Netflix bill. I'm not talking about your credit card monthly service. I'm talking about your phone monthly service. I'm talking about something that you can pay it off down to zero and then never have to pay it again. When you want to know how big your debt snowball can get, because you might find early you can squeeze an extra $100 into that pot. But if you take every minimum payment you're paying and add them all up together, you might find that you're paying $500, $1,000, $1,500, $2,500 a month on all these payments. And it's hard to look at when you're in it. I remember when I looked at it, I couldn't believe just how much that we were putting towards this stuff. Of stuff, I couldn't even tell you what the heck we spent it on. We had this credit card debt, and you're like, was this for our dinner 3 years ago? You can't even remember what the heck it's for. Or you've got loans for your furniture or loans, you know, for all this stuff, or jewelry. Don't get me started on loans for jewelry. They'll give you that same month, that 12 months, same as cash. What they don't tell you is if you don't pay it off in under that 12 months, they charge you all of the back. So you hit month 13 and all of a sudden your balance shoots through the roof because you didn't read the fine print that got you to say if you couldn't get it paid off in that year, you owed back interest. So make sure if you're looking at that and you're in that place where you want to do that, that you can afford the payments that make it zero by the end of the year, if that's something that you're looking at. But debt is designed to go down as long as you don't keep adding to it. And it took us many years to do this thing. But when you look at that total payment, you look at all the money you're putting on your debt of stuff you don't even remember buying. Let's say it's $2,500 and you're like, my life sucks. We never get to do anything. All these people are having fun and doing vacations and stuff, but we can't do nothing. Well, if you had that $2,500 a month, all that stuff paid off, and that $2,500 a month was going into, boy, do we need a vacation fund. Every 4 months, you'll then have saved 10 grand for a vacation.
Yes.
You know, how much extra breathing room will you have in your monthly finances when that $2,500 is going to something you want instead of something you can't even remember buying?
Yeah, something I try to tell people, you're working hard every day. You should pay yourself first. But that's your money. You earn that money. But what you're doing is you're paying credit card companies and you're making them richer than they already are. And you're just digging yourself a bigger hole. So you really have to think about it. Again, I talked about attitude earlier. Attitude and understanding what you're getting into and what you're paying. It's not just, you know, I put it on here and I pay it off each month. You're not paying yourself. And that impacts not only you, but it impacts your family. And you already know this, Travis, that, you know, marriages that end in divorce is usually caused by financial issues. That's the number one. And it's not understanding. Typically, you get, and you know this, you get a spender and a saver. And you're not talking to each other, and the spender usually wins.
I got to admit, I was the spender. I didn't know any better. I didn't, no one told me. You know what I mean? Like, if I found out, I tried to find out what my trigger was for me personally. If I checked the bank account, those of you that have a bank account app on your phone and you're the spender, get rid of that thing. If I looked at my total and I saw that I had money, I would go spend it every time.
Yeah.
And I had to stop looking at the bank account because otherwise I would just go spend it. I don't know why I did. I don't know. I didn't buy anything worthwhile. I can tell you that for sure. But that was me. When you talked about, you know, paying that interest rate, look in the city you're in, look in the town that you're in. Especially if you're in a city and they've got some skyscrapers, I guarantee you that a couple of those, depending on, like, I'm in Oklahoma, the biggest buildings are energy buildings, but most cities, the big buildings are banks.
They're banks.
Every time you're making an interest payment, you're building a bigger bank. Do we need any more banks?
No, we don't.
In this country? No, we do not. Right? They charge you to use your own money. It's insane the way that works. I don't need to build bigger banks. They don't need my help in doing it. They've got plenty of other suckers for that. I'll let all the other suckers build bigger banks. And I'll build my family and my legacy and change my family tree because of the decisions that we make now, not to have nonsense debt. But that $2,500 in our example here goes great for number three, because then you start building up 3 to 6 months worth of emergency savings. And how fast do you think that gets built up if you're pumping $2,500 a month into it?
Oh, it's going to get built up really, really fast if you don't spend it. So the thing I tell people, you have a checking account, and that's what you pay your bills out of. You have a savings account. It's not a spending account. It's a savings account. You're supposed to save the money. And don't do like Travis did and look in the account and say, oh, there's money there. Let's go spend it. We don't need this.
It's one of those things. We had a situation where something happened. That my wife and I decided was an emergency. What we did was we put every payment on minimum, and it turns out our snowball was big enough to handle that problem, and we didn't have to even touch the emergency fund. And then the next month, that money, instead of paying off a problem, went right back into our snowball. But I've had friends that they're like, you told me to do this, man. No, I got something that happened. I was like, use your emergency fund. Pay that. You've got the $800 for the thing. You pay it. You put all your payments on minimum. You take that snowball you have, and however many months it takes, you build back up that baby emergency fund till it hits that 1,000 again. Because while it's not there, you're at risk.
Yes.
Right? So they got back up to 1,000. It took them 3 months to get that built back up. It took the snowball, put it back on the debt, and they were like, oh my God, it works.
I had to prove it to them.
You got to prove it to them. But like that $2,500, if you put that away for 10 months, you've got 25 grand in the bank.
Yeah.
You got to be feeling pretty good with 25 grand in the bank.
Especially if you've never had it before. Something, yes. you can't even, but you have to envision that. I think I've heard you say this before. You have to feel it. How is that going to feel when you have that much money in the bank? It makes you, and I talked about that earlier in a conversation, it makes you feel better as a person. You know, your attitude changes. Yes, I can do this. You know, and you can teach your children how to do it, which is even more important. So they Absolutely. Don't make the same mistakes that we make.
Change that family tree.
It does. It really does. And understanding a couple of things I want to mention. Understanding how banks work and how they get to have the biggest buildings on every corner in every city, understanding how they work will help you in your finances. And you talk about credit cards and using them. There's a date. People know their end date and their pay date. There's another date in there that people don't realize, and you call a credit card company and find out about it, is your reporting date. When do your creditors report to the credit card companies how much you're using your card, how much debt you have on your card? You need to know that date because you can pay it off before that date, and that helps your credit score go up because when they look at it, oh, they're only using like 1% or 2%. So that's a date that a lot of people don't know about that would really help them. And then when you use your credit card, just say from the 1st to the 30th of the month, you get your bill in, and they say, well, you have another 20 or 30 days to pay for this. You haven't stopped using your credit card. So if you used half of it, the next 30 days before you make your payment, you're using the other half of it, using 100% of your credit card. You're only paying off, what, maybe 5, 10%? So you're showing 90 to 95% usage every month because of that grace period.
That day of reporting, you're more than 50% of the total allowed. Your credit score goes down because you're using more than half, and they're assuming all a credit score is they are keeping a record of your relationship, your trustworthiness with someone else's money.
Yep,
that's all it is. It's a record of how responsible you are, and the more responsible you are based on their algorithm, the higher your score is.
Yes.
I had a cousin that I was chatting with, and he was like, I did exactly what you did with the credit card. He didn't move my score one bit. I was like, well, that's only one piece of the puzzle. What else was happening? He told me he missed 5 other payments.
Ooh.
Of course your credit score went down because it's not the only piece of the puzzle. That only works and helps you if everything else was going well.
And another piece of that payment,
as tough as it ever got for us, as tight as it ever got for us, we fortunately never missed a payment.
Yeah. Pay something. Mm-hmm. Always pay something. And it's making payments is not the only thing they look at. They look at the type of debt. Is it a credit card? Is it a mortgage payment? Is it a car payment? All those things are looked at. And what type of credit card it is. So if you go get a Target card, which is probably a tier 5, you don't get as many points for that as if you had like a Chase card or American Express card. It's a higher tier card. You get more points for that and your credit score is higher. This is another thing people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of credit makes a big difference.
Absolutely. So getting into step number 4 here, 1 through 3 are the hardest steps. People spend the most amount of time, energy, and effort on getting their consumer debt paid off and then getting their emergency fund fully funded. When you're at that point, we're using $2,500 for our argument today, for our example today, everything else becomes so much easier. Because yes, if you have something pop up and you have that $2,500 of margin, of wiggle room in your budget, you can buy some of that bigger stuff outright, one shot. Wait till it goes on sale. Get it. Decide between if it's you, get an accountability buddy. If you have a partner in crime, if you have a significant other, agree on something. My wife and I, when it was our thing, we had our budget. We had the things that we were decided on. And there's always something that pops up that's outside of our normal budget. Happens all the time, right? Oh, you know, they want us to come home for Thanksgiving. Well, for us, that's mm-hmm. like 800 miles. That's not something small, right? That's a big deal. Right. So we set a dollar amount. We said if it's under $50, permission's not required. No consent required. You make a good judgment call because at this point you've been working on it. It's like if it's over $100, you've got to have consent from both partners, right? If it's over... You have to have under $100. I'm sorry. You have to have consent. Like, hey, I want to get this thing. Is that usually it's just a quick yes or no or why? If it's over $100, you have to have consent. You have to agree and you have to wait a day.
Okay.
You have to wait a day. A lot of times, if you just sleep on it, you wake up and be like, I didn't need that stupid thing, whatever the whatever the dumb thing was. And then it was over $200. My wife and I had a contest for a week to see who could find it for the cheapest deal. And then because we worked hard to save on it, to save money on it, the winner got half of the difference. You know, if we found something for $500, we ended up finding it for $400. The winner, my wife or I, would get $50 to spend on whatever we want. No consequences, no questions asked.
Cool.
We stopped doing that when we saved $18,000 on a truck. I was like, I'm not going to take the $9,000. But it creates, money is a game. It really is. It's a tool. It's a way to interact in the world. And not having it doesn't mean something, and having it doesn't mean another thing. It's how you use the tool for you, for your benefit, for your family, for your household. It's how you use the tool that really matters. It doesn't matter what the neighbor thinks. He's never had a real thought in his entire life. Why do you care what the neighbor thinks?
Yes. The way you explain this is like a game, and it really is. You're playing a game with yourself. I know. So for my my funds and my budget, I'll take X amount of dollars out for myself per month. That I put in my pocket, and I do whatever I want to do with it. That's mine. And that's what you got to remember. And when you go into a store and you look at something and say, you know, I really want that, or I got to have that. Don't go home, sleep on it. When you get up the next day, say, do I really need that? Is it worth spending the money on? 9 times out of 10, it's not. Because most of our purchases are emotional, especially a vehicle. We want the nicest vehicle with all the bells and whistles, and we want it to look pretty, and we want to drive down a street and impress all of our friends. It's an emotional purchase, and you have to be careful with those because it'll really get you into trouble.
You talk about what you basically mentioned is status, right?
Yeah.
What I've noticed, when I was completely broke in the trailer park, people cared highly about having a big TV. I don't know if it's changed or not. That was the thing, whatever the thing was. As I got a little bit more money, my wife was worried about what purse she carried, and most of our friends cared about what car they drove. The more money I earned, that care changed. Most of the quote unquote luxury vehicles or luxury brands are not owned by millionaires. They're owned by people that are wanting to look like millionaires. They're spending exorbitant amounts of money looking the part, regardless of what the bank account says. And it's definitely right. It's an emotional purchase. I've got on a watch. I was never a watch guy. This is an Invicta. This is like a $500 watch. I didn't buy the watch. It was given to me as a gift from someone that I greatly admired. He wanted me to have something nice. I don't know why he picked a watch, but he did. But I would have never purchased this watch on my own. Never was a thing for me. I never even wore a watch. And I was like, yep, I like it. I'm going to wear it. Right? And I get compliments on it, but I didn't go out and spend the money on it. It wasn't me. Right? If you're watching this right now, I'm wearing a hat that my dad gave me. I'm wearing a Target V-neck t-shirt that I bought for $8. And I think I've got on $18 Target shorts. I don't care what people think. Most of the time, that first impression nonsense is wrong, unless you're talking about fear, right? Something scary, that gut feeling of something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Your first impressions are always wrong. Oh, you see how they dress? When I go out, I dress a little nicer, but it's not expensive. Nice doesn't mean expensive. My wife and I have been doing these estate sales. I bought a sport coat, 4 shirts, 2 sweaters for $18.
But you look like a million.
I look like a millionaire walking around like, oh, Travis, you look good.
That's right.
Compliments my jacket when I was in St. Louis this weekend. They're like, Travis, what? You really clean up well. I was like, for guys, it's easy. You just throw on a jacket. And they're like, wow. Completely floored. Yeah. Jacket cost me, I think that was $10 of the pile. You don't have to spend the money. You don't have to buy new, because most of it doesn't even matter.
No. And that takes me to a good point, Travis, is applied knowledge. People keep saying knowledge is power. No, applied knowledge is power. If you don't apply it, it doesn't mean anything. It's sitting there and you're not using it. But once you apply the knowledge that you learn, and that's something nobody can take away from you. They can take your money. They can take your house. They can take your cars. They can take everything. They cannot take your knowledge, applied knowledge from you. And you can always use that to get back up on your feet again, because I've been there several times. I don't know if I shared the story with you how I got to Texas, but when I got here, I was deep in debt. I had a wife and two kids. I had no vehicle. And if I had stayed where I was, I would have been living under a bridge. Mm. So I applied the knowledge that I had, rebuilt my life, and got to where I am now.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely commend you for doing that, Robert. When something happens, catastrophe happens, you're not starting at zero. You're starting with all the knowledge and experience that you've accumulated over your lifetime to help rebuild the person that you're going to become.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so wonderful. So we've got steps 1 through 3 covered. We've got $2,500 we're playing with. The next step is to put 15% of your household income into retirement savings. That could be a Roth IRA is the most recommended one, because taxes are already paid. So it grows tax-free the entire life. Whatever numbers in the account, that's the amount you got.
And you can invest that money and make it grow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it grows tax-free, as opposed to an IRA, it grows tax-deferred. So another good point. I've had people ask me, they said, well, everybody keeps says to save money. Well, how much are you supposed to save? That's a good place to start. Save at least 15%. And if you're working for a company that has a match, a 401k match, max it out. You know, if they're paying you half of whatever you put in, 5-10%, max it out and get the that's free money that you're getting.
Yeah, it's 100%. If they've got 5% matching and that number is $500, every $500 you put in, you get a free $500. But again, that's only 5%. So that extra 10%, that 15%, go above, hit that number. Don't just do what they match.
Exactly.
Put as much as you're legally allowed to put in when you get to that point. Our next number is a big one, child's college fund, step number 5.
Yes, that's an important one. We all know when you have kids, the day that they're born, most of us want our children to go to college. You have 18 years to plan that. Don't wait until they're 15, 16, 17 years old and then decide, oh, little Johnny or Susie wants to go to college now. We don't have the money. You had an opportunity to start from the very beginning. As soon as they're born, start putting that money away and you will never miss it. Even if you get raises throughout the year, typically most of us, if we're working for somebody, we get a raise every year. If you're already living within your means and you're doing okay, take that raise that you're getting, whatever percentage that is, and put that into something, put it into a college fund, put it into your savings account. And that way it grows that much faster. Don't spend it. My saying is usually you spend what's left after saving and don't save what's left after spending, because you won't get there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got a couple things I want to say about this. One thing that we did, especially being away in the military, we talked to all the grandparents. So my mom, my dad, her mom, her dad, and then whatever grandparents were alive. And we said, hey, we're going to put, we decided for us 40 bucks a paycheck into each kid. We got two kids, 40 bucks each paycheck goes into the kids' account. And we convinced the grandparents each to put between $5 and $10 in the account every month. You're not around, you're not going to birthdays, you're not doing this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to miss $5 or $10. Well, what that means over their lifetime, they're growing thousands upon thousands of thousands into at least their savings. And you can set whatever minimum number you want. And then everything that goes above that number, you're putting into something like the college savings stuff. There's a couple different ways to do it. There's also something like an UTMA, a UTMA, that allows it to grow an account. And the reason I prefer an UTMA to the college savings plan personally is if they get there, there's all sorts of ways to be successful in life. You put into an UTMA and they get to that age and they decide that they're going to technical college or they want to start a business. you can't use the money in the college savings plan for those other things. So we used an UTMA for that. And then I also want to talk about some other college stuff because I'm really tired of people not understanding the free college that's available because they talk about all this student loan stuff. You don't mind if I talk about some of this stuff, do you?
No, go ahead. Not a problem.
Okay. So the only things that require a specific degree are doctors, lawyers, dentists, and engineers, and some very other specified fields. Those are the only things that actually require a specific degree. Any other degree in any other place, like it's not required. Like an MBA is nice, but it's not required. You might eventually do that for your whatever. Tech schools are a lot cheaper, and a lot of schools, community colleges and tech schools, allow students to attend both high school and tech school at the same time. And a lot of places, we're in Oklahoma City, they have free partnerships with them, and they actually bus the kids to the tech school for half day, and they're finishing their degree the same time they're finishing their high school degree. So they're getting a jump on that, a jump start on life. And I don't remember, it's the same year or the year after that they graduate, but it's also free for them to attend. I don't know if they have this in your area. So I'm in Oklahoma City. We've got More Norman Tech Centers is partnered with Oklahoma City Community College. I think it's official. I know they were working on it. But then OCCC, Oklahoma City Community College, also has a partnership with OU. And why that matters is all those credits you attain in any one of those schools are fully transferable, which is super helpful. All of the military academies, the Naval Academy, West Point, Merchant Marine Academy, Coast Guard Academy, if you get an appointment to those places, Air Force Academy, it's completely free tuition. No matter who you are, you're getting an Ivy League education, and you're getting a stipend every month as part of being there as a student. So you're getting paid to go to college, paid to go to free Ivy League school. Ivy League schools, Princeton, Harvard, MIT, they are income-based tuition.
Yeah.
Have to look up the specificity of your school, but if you make, your family makes under a certain dollar amount every year, and the kid qualifies for these institutions, you can get free tuition, room, and board for families making under $60,000 a year. So don't think that if your family's not making the bucks, they can't go to an Ivy League school. They can, because if you're making under $150,000 a year as a family, you get some level of discounted tuition. Check your college to make sure, your college of your choice, to see how that works. If you don't know this, there are several schools in the U.S. that run their classes based on sweat equity, meaning you're putting 10 to 20 of hours of work into the university a week, but you get free school at Cooper Union, College of the Ozarks, and Deep Springs College. There are free schools in America. And you're like, Travis, we don't want to go to Ivy League school. We don't want to go to these schools. Right? We don't want to go to the military. You can go to Europe and go to school for free. It's not required that you be a citizen. Most of the degrees are taught in 100% English. There are at least 44 schools taught in Europe where Americans can earn their bachelor's degree for free. Yeah, you might have to pay for an apartment, but paying for an apartment for 4 years is a lot cheaper than paying for 4 years at university. And you're like, well, Travis, I've already got an advanced degree. Sweden does free PhD programs.
That's pretty awesome.
You didn't miss it, right? There's in the US, there's a gal called Gabrielle McCormick. She runs Scholarship Informer. Gabrielle was a two-sport athlete that got in a car wreck right before her senior year, lost all her scholarships. She then took the rest of the year and earned herself $153,000 in scholarships and grant money. And she teaches you how she did it. People don't know this, but in 2011, there was $400 million in unused scholarships in this country, which means people didn't apply for them or they didn't qualify. There's far more available than just FAFSA and Pell Grants. There is tons of money available, and you can do this from your phone, right? So I've had a couple of parents that I know that paid their kids $10 for every application they filled out. You can download apps, Scholly, which is S-C-H-O-L-L-Y, FastWeb, scholarships.com. You put in your demographics and it spits out this whole list of things you qualify for. And you can sit and you can fill them out on your phone. Some of them have video submissions. Some of them don't even require that you write a paper. But kids are literally sitting down during their lunchtime in high school and they're filling out scholarship applications. You don't have to go to the library, get some big book, figure out what on earth you qualify for and send it in. There's apps for that. Download the app, sign up for these things. Go to state schools, go to places that are cheap. University of Oklahoma, when I got my undergrad in 2011, it was about 10 grand a year. I had a buddy that was a waiter at Outback Steakhouse and he worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday every week. And he paid for his entire school by being a waiter. He finished his degree with no school debt and even had a paid for car by the time he was done with it. And there are so many employers that pay for your schooling. Military, obviously, but Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, McDonald's, Starbucks all pay their employees to go to college. So please, dear God, look up some of these things. I'm sure some of the things I've said were outdated. That's from a list I put together years ago when I was doing things that Robert's doing. But there's things available. Google free college. Yeah. Dear God, please do it. Don't just sign up for a loan just because there are so many ways. And every university has a list of private grants that they don't advertise that you can go in and ask the bursar's office and say, what other grants are available here that people aren't applying for? And they're like, yeah, I can't believe people aren't applying for these. Let me give you a whole list. You can just apply for them all. And no, they're not only going to be $30,000. Some are going to be $100 or $500 or $1,000.
Hey, every little bit helps.
But they add up. Can you imagine putting in 10 applications a day? I think the average school day is like 179. Can you imagine putting in 1,700 applications by the end of the school year because you're doing 10 a day? You're going to get some of them. You're not going to get all of them. You're going to get some of them.
It adds up. Every little bit helps.
Absolutely does.
And I see this, some of the same things here. We have several companies here that do offer scholarships to the kids. They don't apply for them. I had a meeting with several of them. Said, we have all these scholarships. We send them into the schools. And my daughter's in high school, so I asked her about it. She said, no, I never even heard of it. So there's a disconnect somewhere. But you, like you said, you really, the internet, you have access to anything that you want. So get on there and look these things up. Some of them may be outdated, but there may be some new ones out there and find them. But you don't have to go into college debt to get a college education. You talked about trade schools.
Fortunate enough to be in the military, they paid for my whole undergrad. I think I paid $700 for my undergrad. And then I got my master's degree while I was still in. And they have some special rules that force incur time for officers. And I was like, I'm not force incurring any more time. So I paid for the last two classes myself out of pocket, which is like $1,400. But because I had been through Dave Ramsey's plan, I had the cash to do that. I had the cash to make that kind of decision. You know, I didn't have that when I was younger, but I was busy making the mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yep. You and I both. I learned this, unfortunately, as I got older. And that's why I'm trying to teach my kids about it. It doesn't do me. If I had learned it earlier, it would have did me a lot more good than it's doing now. But at least I can help them out.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing.
Take the opportunity to do things with your kids. I had my daughter. She was in seventh grade or eighth grade. I can't remember which grade. And she came in. She's like, Dad, I want a snake. I was like, what? What? You want a snake? I was like, how much does a snake cost? She's like, Dad, it's only $600.
only.
She's so cute. She's seventh or eighth grade at this point. I was like, $600? Are you crazy? No, it was $500. I was like, okay. I was like, well, look, you, at the time she wasn't getting the best grades. I was like, you're not even doing your job. She's like, Dad, I'm a kid. I don't have a job. I was like, school is your job. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, if school was my job, I'd be getting paid. I was like, okay. It's like, you want to get paid for grades. And she's like, yeah, I want to get paid. I was like, I'm only going to pay A's. She's like, each A? I was like, no. I was like, you're going to get all A's and get $500, or you're going to get one B and you get nothing. And she took it as a challenge. She says, okay, Dad. She brought home straight A's.
Straight A's. Yep.
They're I raised capable. The challenge. I raised the bar and she jumped up to meet it. Good for her. And she says, Dad, let's go get a snake. I was like, all right, you did a great job earning the money. I put a bank account outside of her wall of her bedroom. And I put $500 on it. She's like, let's go buy it. I was like, no, now I'm going to show you how to spend the money. And we did about 3 days of research. We found someone in town that had a ball python and a tank and a heater. And we got all of them together for $60. Mm-hmm. So because she did the work, she got paid. And then we learned a little bit of how to spend the money. So she then bought, I think she bought a big fancy dresser for herself and some other stuff. But that $500 lasted her quite a long time. So she learned the lesson that she can challenge herself and win. And then when she gets paid, she learned that she can figure out the best way to spend the money to get the thing that she wants.
That's it. Not get your chase paycheck and blow it when you, as soon as you get it.
Yeah. My son. So that's another, most of the stuff that we have is some kind of conditioning, right? We're suffering from our programming that was laid out for us early in life. My wife took our son shopping all the time when he was young, because that's just how it goes. And I noticed there was this growing collection of like Hot Wheels, Matchbox cars or whatever. Every day I was like, why does he have so many cars? She's like, well, every time I take him to the store, he's good. And I get him a little car. I was like, you know, I want him to have all the things I didn't have. I was like, babe, you can't do that. She's like, we can do it. We can afford it. We've worked hard. We can afford it. This, that, and the other. I was like, I don't care about the car. It's not about the car. That's the problem. It's the behavior. You're telling him that if he's well behaved, that every store he walks into, he's got to walk out with something.
Yep.
And it hurt my wife a little bit to say something like that. I was like, our kids are not wanting in any way. They have plenty of toys, right? We can't just buy him something for good behavior, because that's programming our kids to say that every time I go out, I should come home with something. Every time you leave the house, you should not come home with something, dear God.
No one can
afford that stuff.
No.
When my son got a little bit older, we were in Walmart and he was looking at stuff. And I'm like, son, that's kind of crap. You know, poor quality, this, that, and the other. And he's like, Dad, like, I don't ever really get anything. I was like, here's the deal, son. We can buy anything and everything in this store. We can. We're at that point in our lives. We can buy anything in here we want. But is the thing you're wanting to buy, is it worth getting? Are you going to play for it for a week and then not touch it for months, and then it's ended up in a garage sale this summer? He's like, we can afford anything here, anything you want. We can go buy it. But what is it really going to be worth to you? And he was like, yeah, that's crap, Dad. I don't want that. It's the desire to get because you feel you don't have. That he was experiencing. And now that he knows that it's all available and everything is capable, like, he's like, yeah, why would we waste money on that? Doesn't make sense.
Wants and needs.
Wants and needs.
Wants and needs.
Our next baby step is paying off the home early. And that's where we're at. We're on the pay off the house early plan. We've made it that far. We've not yet hit baby step 7 in our household, but we are working on paying extra on the house. My check goes to all the stuff that's happens all the time, all the recurring things. And my wife is gracious enough to carve $1,000 out of her paycheck every month to put extra on the house. So teamwork makes the dream work. And we're slowly chunking away at saving tens of thousands of dollars in house interest payments. Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. If you've got a house, if you've got a mortgage and you haven't done the math, pull up one of those payoff home early calculators and put $100 in there. Depends on where you're at, and see how many thousands of dollars you'll save just for an extra $100 a month. Our goal is, our son's starting 9th grade. Our goal is to have the house paid off before he is graduated. So when he's graduated, we can do whatever the heck we want. We've got no more bills. We bought the house what the heck year is it? 2022, 9 years ago. So with 13 years, we'll have a 30-year mortgage paid off.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're not living like paupers to do it.
No, no. Once you clean up some of the behavior, because all money is not a money. It's never a money problem. It's a behavior problem.
Behavior problem. Remember what it is. Just a tool.
Yeah. People are like, well, you've got it so lucky. I was like, no. That was 2 decades worth of work making sure that we did things that we were supposed to do the way we're supposed to do it. We took care of it. Along the way, we went to Hawaii. We went on cruises. We did all these things, but we had to get those first 3 steps are the hardest. That $1,000 in the baby emergency fund, paying off all your debt other than the house and not accumulating new debt, and then fully funding that emergency fund. When that thing is done, you will feel so amazing when you've got 6 months worth of emergency fund. I retired from the Navy earlier this year, and we had well more than the baby emergency fund set up, and we needed it. My paycheck got cut in half, but luckily our spending, our behavior was under control. But my wife had brain surgery the month I retired, which means her earnings were zero, and I lost more than half of my paycheck. But because of what we did and how we set it up and the behavior we have and the money we have in the bank, I'm not working another job. And she just started back a couple of weeks ago because she's got to get out of the house. And to be honest, I need her to leave the house. No, it's hard to enjoy life when the only outlet you have is one other person. Please go to work. Tell some of them your problems, please.
Go to the mall. Just don't spend a lot of money. Do something. And once you get set up like that, you have that plan, it's so much easier to do because you're not just throwing money, good money after bad, and you recognize what's going on. And it's easy to say, you know what? I really don't need that right now. I can wait. It's not a big deal. And I want to see us continue to grow this nest egg, and it helps you. And your children get to see that, and they're going to have that same behavior when they get out on their own. And you can start creating that generational wealth, and it'll continue for generations to come.
Absolutely. The vast majority of kids model exactly what they see from their parents. If you have any relationship problems and you think it's okay to scream at each other in the house or in public, they're going to do the same thing when they have a relationship. If they see you working in the community, showing up to community events, Lions Rotary Club, and making a difference in town, they're going to do the same thing. If they see you taking care of your money and being a decent human being, chances are they're going to model that. Very few kids have the wherewithal or the capability to say, this is an example before me. I'm definitely not doing it that way. Very few kids have the ability to do that. So whatever you're modeling, and this goes beyond all this other stuff, right? Well, my mom was a single mom and I can do it. If there's not abuse going on, and you're just getting bored, stick it out. Be that generation that says, you know what, kids, I'm going to show you what it looks like for good times and bad, with sickness and health, richer or poorer. What does it look like to stick together? Sure, give that kids the example that they can be proud of and show, you know what, I know my mom, I know my dad went through some hard stuff, and here we are at their 30th anniversary, and I'm so glad I had that example. I'm going to stick it out with my spouse, again, barring any kind of abuse. I'm not advocating for that kind of behavior, but
yeah, I understand.
A lot of people they're like, oh, we grew apart. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. You can't expect to half-ass something and expect it to work out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Now, I'll tell you something I did with my daughter. So I have 3 children, but I have one. She's very young. So her college fund, what we did, we started building it up. But what I do when I do investments, I invest in real estate. We use her college fund to invest in real estate. And it's in her name. And when her interest checks come back in, they come back in her name. She gets to sign it and deposit the money into the account. So she gets to see it grow. And she looks forward to those interest checks every month. And I asked her one day, I said, what did you do to earn this money? And she looked at me kind of funny. She goes, well, what do you mean? I said, what did you do to earn this money? She said, well, I didn't do anything. I said, that's the point I want you to get. Your money is working for you. So she's learning that as a young teenager, you know, and seeing that, that seeing her funds grow, and she's not actually working for it. Mm-hmm. So it's a good lesson for her too.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That is way cool. I'm proud of you for doing that. Those of you listening, there is only three ways to make money. There's the money you make for yourself, AKA going to a job. There's money other people can make for you. Think of it as like you being a business owner and you've got employees right there making money for you. And the third one is the one Robert just had his example of, is your money out making money. There's only
for you.
Only true two really passive ways, and that's real estate and investments, where your money's actually just working for you. Yeah, that's so fantastic. If you listen to all this stuff and you're like, hey, we're just not in that situation. Like if you're good with your credit cards, put your kid's name on a credit card. If you're doing good, if you're not missing payments, add their name so they can start building credit. So when they hit 18, 19, 20 years old, or get their first car, their first apartment, whatever, they have a credit history, and it's good history to save them money early and upfront. So they're not paying extra, just being penalized due to their age.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Very good point. There's way. And again, it's this knowledge that people don't have. Get it, learn it, get on the internet. There's so much that you can learn to help yourself, but then apply it. And make it work for you and teach your children so you can keep it going.
Absolutely. We are at the best time in society possible. Everyone's got a smartphone. Dang near everyone's got one. And the access to YouTube University, whatever you want to learn about, whatever free podcast out there, find whatever subject that you're weak on that you need to bolster for your family, that you need to get stronger on. Maybe it's nonprofit work. You listen to Travis. Maybe it's you've got to figure out your household finances, so you pull up the Dave Ramsey Show. Maybe it's investing or mergers and acquisitions. There's a podcast about all that stuff where the experts are telling you exactly how they did it. Don't just not turn it on. Turn it on. You're watching 3 or 4 hours of TV a day anyway. Might as well turn on something that's going to help you change your family tree, get to that generational wealth, and truly start living your life and have an impact on this world. Robert, thank you so much for being my guest today. What parting words do you have for our audience?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here and to share this information with you. You record this, right? People can go back and listen to it again.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to it and pick up on some of the nuggets that Travis and I talked about today to help you. There's somebody out there that's in a situation where they need help and don't know where to get that help. Listen to this. You can always go listen to Dave Ramsey's. He has podcasts, and get that information to help you get out of the situation that you're in. It's a negative situation, and turn it around to help yourself, your family, and your children, and pass that along. So important.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert. Listen to this show. If you like what you heard here and you want to start your own podcast, shoot me an email. We have resources to help this get going for you, your business, your thing. Heck, I may even talk Robert into starting a podcast as a mayor. We'll see how that goes. Tune in next week. We got a new show every single Tuesday. Look forward to hearing from you all. Thank you so very much.